is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Palm on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two of the Lombardi Line upon us, this show presented by DraftKings, as we welcome you in on VSIN and DraftKings Network live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni with you as the Masters continues to roll on here on a Friday out there from Augusta National. Four-way tie at the top right now at six under. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, and Nikolai Hogard. Scheffler was supposed to get his round underway about 10, 12 minutes ago, but according to everything that we're seeing right now, has not got underway just yet. But of course, the favorite to win his second Masters in 3 years.
Yeah, and he's just been a machine, consistency, and goes out there and posts tied for second, first round. And of course, his odds go from 4-1 down to at the start of the round, 3-2, plus 150. And now we're looking live at DraftKings, almost even money.
He's minus 6,000 to have a top 20 finish.
You can lay it.
Minus 1,400, top 10, wild.
160,000, like the interpreter bets. Pick up $2,500.
Yeah, that one's not going to be his $10 bet, that's for sure. But I mean, how often do you see a player priced at, you know, $2 top 10 preflop?
It's very interesting because of the angle about his wife.
Sure.
If you got the other market on that he doesn't finish top 20, and it'll be ridiculous. It'll only be like 15-1. You lay 60-1 because of the straddle at that price. Is that worth a shot that he leaves at 15? You're betting 15-1 that his wife goes into labor and he leaves.
I can't.
What price do you need to bet the wife's going into labor?
For anybody who missed it, his wife, Meredith, apparently her due date is in like a week and a half. Both she and Sam Burns' wife both are supposed to have their first children in very, very short order and have said if they go into labor that they will be leaving the Masters. But
Paulie asked me on Thursday, he said, what was the best day of your life? And I said, it's probably my first child being born. And he said, if you had a 4-shot lead on Sunday, would you leave? I said, well, I'm not delivering the baby.
Well, it's funny you say that. Michael asked me yesterday, he's like, Stormy, if you were in labor and Chris was in the Masters, what would you do? And I was like, maybe I'm probably just not a normal female, but I'd say, go get your green jacket and bring back that money, honey. Like, let's go. But that's just me. And I've never been in that situation. But God, it's terrifying. I don't think that would be a fun experience at all to have to decide if you're him in that moment to have to decide.
Well, I think you have guilt.
Sure.
Probably a lot of guilt.
Absolutely.
Well, when I asked my father, he was asleep in the waiting room when I was born. He said, I was watching the rookies and I fell asleep, you know? So, I mean, he was at the hospital, but I don't know that in those days, the men were in the room with the women either, right? They brought him in after.
Scheffler is 11th in career earnings and does already have a green jacket. So I don't know if that would play into it at all. But of course, a big favorite to do it again today. Five top fives in his last eight starts in the tour this year. He's just been a monster. And I feel like we're on that trajectory again today. He should get underway here soon. Tiger, though, is in cut territory. I need him to get there.
What was your price that you got on? Yes.
Plus 110.
Okay.
So nothing too crazy. But it did end up going, I think, to minus 115.
Yeah, it was favored.
Pre-tournament. Mm-hmm. But let me see where he's at right now. Even par on the day. Tied for 32 right now. So hopefully he's able to stay in that window. Where does this weekend rank? Or I guess week as a whole rank for you on the sports calendar?
The week of the Masters? I don't know.
Because you have the combo from the both men's and women's national championships. It's the last week of the NBA regular season.
Where are you starting? Where are you starting the week? Are you starting it on Monday?
Sunday.
Well, I think if you started it on Friday and you went from Friday to Sunday, so you did what, 10 days? And you got the women's semifinals. Because I'm always a believer that the semifinal day is the bigger day. Like, I think the regional finals and semifinal games are bigger than the championship. Because if you make the championship, you've accomplished a lot, right? And there's very few teams that, you know, we're talking about how many trophies did they win. I know for UConn it was a repeat and all that. But if you said from that in the Masters, it was all in a week, maybe it's a top 5 week. I'm not huge. I actually like the U.S. Open better.
Really? More than
golf.
The Masters?
It's always very challenging, you know, and it's interesting. And it's usually on Father's Day. And I remember watching Sundays with my dad on Father's Day all the time, much more so than the Masters.
I don't know if it's just because I'm a football person by nature, but my favorite weekend is always the divisional round of the NFL. There's usually really good, fun matchups, and that's probably my favorite, and then opening round of the tournament. But this is definitely up there. I would agree. It's a top five week just because of the caliber of play that you have, and the race for a green jacket is always super special to watch that very end of that final day on Sunday. And
it's also very aesthetically pleasing to watch that course, right? I mean, it's so beautiful, and it's amazing to me how light it stays late at night in Georgia. Like, we're sitting here looking at
the start of spring, right?
Yeah, but we're not into the longest days. We're still 2 months away from the longest days, and you know, it's like we're like, oh, it's 7:30 in Georgia, and they're still playing.
So I know Fred Couples, you said, is the biggest liability here.
You know who's one? I'm looking at this list. Is this Joaquin Niemann is also? Yeah. It's like our third. Now, let's just say Couples is out. I think Tiger is our number one if he should win it. And then I believe Joaquin Niemann is second.
Did you end up getting involved at all in the Masters?
My total involvement was I did a draft with Femi for Live Bet Saturday where we each got five golfers. And
okay, so who's on your team?
I'd have to text.
See, that's bad. You don't even. Who's your first pick?
I took Scheffler with the first pick. Because there's no odds. We're just seeing who won the tournament. And Femi keeps saying, I didn't get to flip a coin. How did he get the first pick?
Are you technically? No, I was going to say you're not even technically the guest. It's a dual host situation.
It's our regular show. Yeah. I think because when I hosted with Ben Wilson and we did the NFL draft in the fall, he let Ben Wilson go first. But we actually did the bartender from Bar Canada. Ortega had 10, our name 10 times. There were 20 things, right? And then she picked, Ben got the first pick and took the 49ers. So then I took the Ravens, and then I took the 49ers. I thought he was going to take, the Ravens. Anyhow, I ended up winning because I had the Chiefs on my team. We each got four. So the odds are irrelevant because we're just picking who's going to win it. So.
Right.
I have Dennis Johnson. I know Masuyama. I have he's out. He had a terrible first round. So Femi is getting married tomorrow. So
again,
isn't this his wedding day, or was it last week?
It was last week?
Well, whatever. Yeah. We did this like 2 weeks ago. This Masters draft, and I'm like, this is not like relevant. But Femi wasn't going to be here for 2 weeks because now he's on his honeymoon. So, and like Femi's like, I can't even live bet it because I'm gonna be gone, and I don't have a place to live bet it. So. I think he only made one. Oh, Zalatoris was his only bet. He bet Will Zalatoris to win it, and he was like his second pick on his team.
That's a bet that makes sense as well. He is I hate watching him putt. I don't like that style whatsoever. It really makes me uncomfortable to watch. But again, Scottie Scheffler, the favorite pre-flop and the favorite now to win it right now, and he is officially underway, even par through one. So we are getting going here for Scottie Scheffler at the Masters out there, and a gusty Augusta. The weather is much nicer, but we are still seeing a little bit of wind out there. Okay, let's go back to a little bit of our draft conversation. What is the most interesting draft storyline for you, aside from the order with which the quarterbacks go?
I guess who will trade out of the top five picks to me is an interesting storyline, because I think New England is live to do it. And I think, obviously, the Chargers are live to do it, right? So will it be New England first, or will it be the Chargers? Then I also think that Malik Nabers at 3-1, or you can find him like plus 340 in some markets to be the first wide receiver is very interesting as well. Like if you, this qualm thing, I would have a huge qualm laying $5 with Harrison Jr. I don't think it's so set in stone for teams what a wide receiver is.
Michael has said repeatedly that the people that he has talked to around the league, a number of them have Nabers above Marvin Harrison Jr. on their board. We had Chris Sims on the program earlier this week, and he said similarly. He's like, for me, it's Nabers. Mm. If I'm making the pick, it's Nabers. Obviously, he's not. You know, it's a different situation when we get out there. But Marvin Harrison Jr., minus 500 to be the first wide receiver selected, first non-quarterback selected. Nabers sitting there 3-1, followed by Roma Dunze 25-1. So obviously things fall off there. It's a two-horse race. But I do think that Nabers is more alive than he's getting credit for on the odds board, for sure.
The reason I asked Michael that question about quarterbacks versus wide receivers is because I think it's a good chance three wide receivers in the top 10, right? So it could be a push. So the bet would have to be like, more quarterbacks are wide receivers, and the wide receivers are plus a half. So that if it was 3-3, you'd win with the wide receiver bet. I think that would make it interesting from a betting perspective.
Do you think...
Because if you think there's four quarterbacks, obviously you would lay the half.
We've talked so much about how like highly touted this wide receiver class is, supposedly. Do you think that for the Bills, who are picking so far down at 28, that they're going to have still a really good option to select from? Like a Brian Thomas, for example, I feel like is a name that has been highly regarded, but people think could be available there?
I'm not sure if he's available, but I know Michael believes that you can find decent wide receiver talent into the second and third rounds, not to waste first round picks on wide receivers. And I know waste is a strong word, but not to overvalue. What is Bill Walsh is the one who told him that, right? That that's the quickest way you submarine your team is to draft a wide receiver first with your first pick. So, I think that they will be able to get a decent wide receiver where they sit. Now, maybe they want to move up to get Thomas and they have to project how far up they need to go to get him. Maybe that's a move they're willing to make. Who knows?
The minus 300 for the Bills to take a wide receiver in the first round has gone down to minus 280. Yeah. So not a significant move, but 20 cents still has come down a bit. Defensive line edge, the next shortest shot at plus 425. And the Jets, do they take Brock Bowers at 10 or do they go continue to build up the offensive line?
Boy, I think you have to build the line,
don't
you?
That's how I feel.
But I bet they'll take Bowers. Like, I feel like they should do this, but they will do this.
They want more toys.
It's like the Bengals. That's back when Amal and I were doing our show. We were adamant they should take Penei Sewell, but, you know, they went for the wide receiver.
We're just getting started here in hour two of the Lombardi Line. Plenty more to come, including when we return, a little NHL conversation. Shane Knighty, the TV voice of the Vegas Golden Knights, former NHL defenseman, won a cup with the Bruins. He's going to stop by, give us the latest on the playoff picture in the National Hockey League.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Remember, tonight you can download the Long Shots podcast for our After the Cut Masters coverage. Hosts Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin dissect the leaderboard, analyze key performances, and discuss the best betting opportunities live for the weekend ahead. From the contenders making their move to the surprises of the tournament, our expert panel will provide in-depth insights and strategies to help you bet the Masters smarter. Download the Long Shots podcast tonight at vsin.com/podcast. or wherever you get your podcasts. For continued coverage, check out vsin.com/masters. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Mike Palm, Stormy Bonantoni with you, hoping to connect in a moment with Shane Knighty, the TV analyst for the Vegas Golden Knights, former Boston Bruins defenseman, won a cup with them in 2010-11. And with this, the Golden Knights, as well as, you know, a number of teams right now, figuring out their final spots and positioning with the playoff push ahead. A big night for them with the Wild upon them. And before that, the St. Louis Blues and Carolina Hurricanes going head-to-head with this placement all kind of on the line tonight.
Yeah, I think it's fortunate for the Knights that the one team that can catch them, the Blues, doesn't draw an easy opponent. And the opponent is still motivated because they're 3 points behind the Rangers for one in the Metropolitan Division, but they have a game in hand. So a win tonight, they're 1 point back with two to go. Obviously, they would get the home seed and not have to play the three in the first round. So important to them. And they're favored. When I saw the price on the game, I knew there was motivation before I looked at the standings for Carolina. The East wildcard race is crazy. I mean, big game was last night. Pittsburgh beat Detroit, but in overtime. So Detroit gets a point. So Pittsburgh, a point up.
Yeah, they move
on
up
the
to that.
Caps and the Red Wings and Philadelphia. But Philadelphia, everybody else has a game in hand on Philadelphia. Everybody has three left. And the Flyers, who've been plummeting, only have two games remaining. But it's wild.
But the Pens, who everybody, I feel like, was doubting this push that they had, move into that final wild card spot in the East as of last night.
1 month ago, 30 days ago, their chances were 4% to make the playoffs. Now they're the favorite to get the second wild card. Pretty amazing.
And we do have Shane on the line now, who joins us via the Progressive guest line, Shane Knighty. And I know it's busy because you just got some news that Mark Stone is going to be on the ice in non-contact, all the things, Shane. But welcome in. How are you doing?
I'm great. Good to see you. Yeah, it's exciting news. And for Vegas fans, not for anybody else.
Good point. And we were just talking about the situation that the Golden Knights are in today against the Wild. Of course, the game that's going to happen earlier in the day with the Blues. But what's the mood and energy of the building like on a day like today with so much at stake?
Well, I think there's a boost, certainly, that they see their captain just to be on the ice with them. But that said, they know, you know, there's no sign of when that may happen, him joining, other than practice. I wouldn't call it concern, but there needs to be some urgency with this team, because you're at the point now in the season, you can't wait for that next game. That it has to happen tonight. They've got to get to their game. They can't just flip a switch. They've got to get the playoffs. They've got to start to win games, control their destiny. You can't wait for St. Louis to lose. You've got to take care of business here and try and climb. First off, solidify a playoff spot, and then try and climb as high as you can as a seed. I think that's got to be the motivation for this group. And there's energy, I think, coming back home. There's it's always great to play in the fortress. And for this team, they play well at home. But I'm expecting them to come out with a lot of jam, a lot of juice tonight. They need to. This is the time of year. They've got to turn the corner here and get in playoff mode now. And I think Keegan Kolesar said it after. Said, we've got to turn things around. Even if we get in, we'll get bounced quick, I think is what he said. So they recognize that in the room. It's a veteran group. Now it's a matter of taking what they're talking about and executing it on ice.
Shane, you mentioned trying to move up in seeding, which could be very important. If they could catch the Kings for third, they could stay in that Pacific side of the bracket. How much more challenging is it if things stay status quo and they're wild card two and they have to go the route of the Central? You would have to beat the Stars, and if you could do that, then beat either Colorado or Winnipeg.
I don't think there's any easy route, to be honest. When you look at the teams that, you know, would pick your poison, you want them, or you could meet the Edmonton Oilers. Which we just saw what happened last game. I think the Oilers defend a lot better. We know they can score. So, but that said, I think when Vegas is on their game and playing the right way, they can play against anyone. And I think that's there's legitimately talking to people around the league. They're like, that what the West is dangerous. You look at the teams, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, Vancouver, Vegas are kind of the first teams that come out of their mind that, you know, any one of those guys could come out. So, you've got to win your series regardless of who you're against. You're going to come against a tough opponent. So I think there's less concern about who they're going to meet as more just right now getting to their game, playing the right way, and solidifying that playoff position.
And you didn't mention the one seed in the Pacific, Vancouver. I know Demko, they're hoping to get him back for the playoffs. If they don't, do they still have a shot?
I think Demko's the key for them. Yeah. I really do. I think he's a big piece of their success, and especially playoffs. This is a group of guys, and Vancouver's had a great season. I think Rick Tocchet has done a phenomenal job there, getting them to buy in defensively. But the best means of defense has been your goaltender, and Demko certainly is that for them. They've got a lot of learning, right? They have a young group, not a lot of playoff experience. You don't get it unless you get into playoffs. I think they took a huge step forward this year, and they could surprise everybody. Maybe they do come out. But to me, I look at more of the experienced teams, as I said, Colorado, Vegas, Edmonton, Dallas is, to me, those are the big four in the West.
What do you make of the race for the wild card in the Eastern Conference? And is what we're seeing there, that says it all. And what is what we're seeing from the Pittsburgh Penguins lately, is that for real?
I think so. You know, if you're not a fan of Sidney Crosby, you should be now. What he's doing at his age and willing this team, and I, you know, they're the exciting pick to get in, just because, you know, they've got some Hall of Famers on that team. You know, you go up and down, Malkin, Crosby, Carlson. They're exciting if they can get in. They might be able to do some damage. It's been a tough season for them, but what Crosby has done is pretty remarkable. So I think. I remember doing one of their games, maybe it was a couple months ago, and everybody had written them off then. And I remember Mike Sullivan and we heard Sidney Crosby said, we'll let everybody count us out. We know what we can do with this group. That said, they still got some work that needs to be done. It's tight. Detroit, there's a look at it. The Capitals, the Flyers, who are pretty much done, got a little bit of life with a big win last night. But as of right now, I think just Pittsburgh's got some. The Capitals are kind of, that's a surprise. You look at their goal differential, and the fact they're in a playoff fight is pretty special. And of course, Ovechkin getting 30 again. So it's been fun. I think it's been a great year all around, just watching the races, watching whether it's the Art Ross race. You look at the top defenseman scoring. That's pretty phenomenal. And then now it's been a good playoff race to see who's getting in. It's probably a little tighter than Golden Knights would like in the West with St. Louis still alive. But that said, we're getting down here to the final week when everything will get sorted out.
Dane, I'm a huge Jim Montgomery fan. Since he took my hometown team, the Dubuque Fighting Saints, to two USHL titles, he takes Denver to a national championship game. It was his Stars team that Rick Bonus took to the finals in the bubble. And record regular season last year, rotating Allmark and Swayman. They get to the playoffs, and Allmark starts six straight games. We don't know he's hurt, but he is, and they blow a 3-1 series lead. Last 20 games, he's back to that strict rotation. Says he's going to rotate games 1, 2, 3, and 4 in each series. Will he be able to stick to that, and do you think it's the right philosophy?
Well, after what happened last year, yeah, it's interesting. It's worked for them this year, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I think initially you always have a plan, and it's funny, when you talk to coaches, when you come to playoffs, it is a game-to-game adjustment, right? You come in with the biggest plan prior to playoffs, but really that gets thrown out, and then it's after that, you're just adjusting every game. You know, each team knows what they're going to do, so it's more adjustments on your side. I think the Boston Bruins, what you said with Jim Montgomery, you know, the success last year, I think this year has been even kind of, to me, more impressive because of what they lost down the middle in Krejci and Bergeron and still being as good as they've been. And I think, you know, it's the strength of the team, the way he's coached, and that rotation has worked. You know, when you look at the Golden Knights, they get to the Cup last year. They needed goalies. Took a couple of goalies. It took a few more even just to get the playoffs and to capture the West. So, you know, we're getting less and less from a one-goalie league. That said, there are guys capable. We've seen what Vasilevsky's done in the past. I think, you know, Jake Oettinger, Demko, those type of players. But for the Bruins, I think the start, yeah, I think he's got to stick with that rotation. It's been successful, and we'll see what happens from there. As I said, it could change at any time.
And a team certainly that wants some redemption after the way things played out in the playoffs last year. Last 40 seconds with you, Shane. You're from north of the border. There's a lot of pride over there, but it's been a long drought since a Canadian team has won a cup. Who do you think would be most likely of that bunch to win?
Oh, boy. Well, you look at what Toronto's doing, and I know that's an unpopular, especially I used to play in Ottawa in the Battle of Ontario, so myself and my kids have grown up to hate the Leafs. But they are strong if they can defend the right way and get some goaltending. And the Oilers, you know, I think they're dangerous with Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Those are just two elite players, and they're playing better. I think Chris Knobloch's done a good job getting them to buy in defensively, along with Paul Coffey, Hall of Fame defenseman who's coaching the D-men. So if I'm looking at Canadian teams, I would say those are the two that are the top of the list for me.
Shane, you're the man. Have fun in the fortress tonight. Appreciate you.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at vsin.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage. This is a limited time offer. vsin.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. And as we continue to monitor all things Masters, Bryson DeChambeau is back alone at the top at 7 under. He is even par today through 8. We are still on Tiger cut watch, but he's even par today through 13, tied for 27th at this point. So knock on wood, looking good. Hope things continue to hold.
What's
there
the line
Tiger
right now? Is it 2?
Let cut me line? See. Yes, it appears to be one. So right now. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Hold on, Tiger. Hold on. But it's been fun to monitor. Scottie Scheffler only on a second hole of the day, but remains the favorite in this spot. In addition to all the NBA and NHL that we talked about today, also a good slate of baseball. And I know you're involved in a couple of games here. What's the top game you have your eye on today?
I'm really interested in the Padres and Dodgers tonight. I watched the Padres. They come off a big win yesterday. It's interesting because we found out per Major League Baseball rules, I mean, Wednesday when we were there, everybody had to be in L.A. by 6 o'clock on Thursday, even though they're not playing until Friday, which is very strange to me because they're all probably going to go out in L.A. instead of being at home in San Diego in their houses, right? I mean, to me, that's a disadvantage in the travel arrangements there. King has been good for them so far. This is actually a decent, pretty cheap price on the Dodgers at home. Yamamoto bounced back after that awful start in Korea against the Padres. I look at the Dodgers run line here at a small plus price. You can find plus 115. It's plus 110 at DraftKings right now.
Are they to you, I mean, obviously the odds indicate as much in terms of the World Series, but are they the team to beat in your mind this season?
I came into it with the thought process that the Braves were still the best team. And I need to understand the Dodgers' rotation still to this point. I mean, if you think they're winning 104 games to go over their win total, then you're expecting something out of Kershaw, right? You're expecting Walker Buehler to come back and be dominant again. I don't know. So we'll have to see if over the course of time they can solidify that rotation. But the offense has been terrific. I don't think it beat 3-2 in Minnesota, but the first 9 games or 10 games, they went over the run total. Very explosive team offensively. So I would say nothing about the Dodgers has really surprised me so far. And the hitting has been, you know, as projected.
Because of what you said about the Braves, did your thought process change at all with the Strider injury moving forward?
I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'm very concerned about Strider. And then Fried has been terrible in the first inning of the games, right? So there's two big question marks at the top of their rotation. So I would say right now that, you know, the balance of power to me or my thought process and power ratings has shifted to the Dodgers. Because I'm very concerned about the rotation now with the Braves.
Where are the odds sit right now? Dodgers plus 310. Yeah. Favorite early in the World Series odds. Braves 4-1. Yankees 8-1. Astros off to a really rough start. 10-1. Fourth shortest shot on the board. What's been going on there?
I took plus 180. They missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Astros.
What got you there? What led you to that?
Because well,
I didn't expect them to be this brutal early. Yeah.
The news off of Framber being hurt is what triggered the bet, right? Because I still said, you got Framber and you got Christian Javier at the top of the rotation. They're going to be involved. How long Framber's out? I mean, looking in Kansas City, their pitchers couldn't get to the fourth inning. They're starting pitchers. Yeah. I know JVT sent in that in the text about, will Palm have a qualm? Yeah. We'll discuss in the last. This Kansas City team's probably been the one that's caught my eye the most so far.
Well, yeah. And so they're coming off of a sweep of the Astros. They're on a heater, won 7 straight. They go from 2-4 to 9-4 pretty quickly. Had that 9-run first inning on Thursday. What do you make of their matchup today against the Mets?
I like the Royals on the road tonight, facing off against Severino. Has not been terrific. This Mets team went through their first 6 games. They couldn't hit the ball at all. Scored some runs yesterday, pounded Atlanta in Atlanta. A big win. Now they come home with a travel. Royals are hot. Waka's been very good. You know you're going to get 6 innings out of him at least. But he's been terrific. He's of all the pitchers going today, the lowest whip. And most of them had 2 starts already. So I took a plus price on the road with this Royals team. Try to get some good prices now before the market catches up to them.
Well, and it's gotten better, too. It was plus 105 yep. before the show. We're seeing plus 120 right now. Mets a minus 142 favorite. The runs sitting 8.5 in this one coming up. Yeah, Royals an interesting team with the way that they've been playing right now. And the Yankees, who I mentioned, too, atop the odds board, they're a minus 150 favorite in Cleveland taking on the Guardians today. They're off to a great start. 10-3 out the gates.
Best start.
Like 4, including wins in 4 of their last 5, yep. They open a 3-game series with Cleveland today.
Big series with Cleveland. Cleveland obviously loses Bieber, so it makes interesting the Central race. This is the game, the best records of the two teams combined. I was trying to get closer to 120 on the Yankees. I haven't really found it, so I haven't made a bet yet on this game. But I'm impressed with their start so far. I think they've been better defensively than I thought they were going to be. And you know, Carrasco's hit and miss for the Guardians. He can be very bad, and they're going to have to go to their bullpen early. But I don't really want to lay 135 on the road. So if this price drifts down at all, or I can find something in the 120, 120, 122 range, I'll probably do it. But right now, I pass the game.
It's been headed in that direction. So we'll see if the Guardians continue to take money and you can get in on the favorite side. The Brewers and Orioles begin a 3-game set today at Camden Yards as well. Freddie Peralta against Tyler Wells. Baltimore coming off a 3-game sweep of the Red Sox. Slight home favorite here.
Yeah. Brewers have been winning and doing it with pitching, right? I don't know how long you can sustain scoring 3 runs a game and winning at that clip. But, you know, Freddie Peralta is a guy I think Mitch Moss and I have bet to win the Cy Young like the last 4 years unsuccessfully, right? I didn't do it this year. But an interesting start for him tonight. His walks are down over last year. I know it's a small sample size. Yeah. I took this game first 5. under five. You have to lay a little bit of juice here if you want to do that. But Tyler Wells opposing him. So I like the under, but I prefer first fives in baseball because I don't want to deal with some of these bullpens or middle relievers. So first five is under is my play here.
Can we get over 6.5 strikeouts from Peralta? It's plus 110.
You know, everybody loves to bet these strikeout props.
They're fun.
They're not fun for me. I'd rather bet out props for pitchers, right? And it's not widely available in Nevada like it is in so many other markets. We get it when the playoffs come around. I think that's the more fun way to bet, but I know the strikeout props are more popular. And when we put up strikeout props for these pitchers on these games, all the starting pitchers. So I don't really get that much involved in it. And I know they get swing and miss rates for different teams and this and that, but I don't know enough about it to give you an opinion.
The outs recorded are 16.5 for him. Even money over, minus 130 under. The strikeouts, plus 110 to the over 6.5. In two starts so far, 15 strikeouts and 11 2/3 innings. Had 7 in one game, 8 in the other. So he's gone over in each of the previous two starts, but will he do it a third? Line up 6 batters under 230, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm just looking
for
plus money prices.
How about 5 2/3 innings? At even money, you said? Was that even?
Plus 110.
Okay.
Plus 110.
I don't mind that.
Just throwing it out there. No qualms. See, we're getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit. Is there anything that you liked on the NHL card tonight, though?
I played the first period under 1.5, minus 105, Blues and Canes, because I think it's a playoff-type atmosphere in St. Louis. They're trying to hang on and catch the Knights. Bennington will be in goal. Freddie Anderson starting for the Canes, who still have a shot to catch the Rangers for the one seed in the Metro. So I think in these games that have a playoff atmosphere, you'll watch. The totals in the playoffs will be much lower than they are in the regular season. Teams will be much more conscious defensively, try to stay out of the box. So under 1.5 first period in St. Louis, minus 105.
Do you have a similar approach to the like final weeks, final days of the NHL regular season, like we talk about with the NBA in terms of guys in and out of the lineup?
I don't think it's as much.
Or is it more about the races, like you're saying about the playoff atmosphere?
I'm looking at races where both teams have something to play for. There has to be both teams, just like Nick trying to handicap the NBA. He might be looking for one team has something to play for against one that doesn't. I'm looking for an atmosphere where both teams have something to play for.
Okay. What did you make then? We obviously previewed the game briefly with Shane Knighty, but what are your thoughts on the Golden Knights Wild game today?
Well, it's interesting because Fleury is going to be a net for the Wild, right? And they're playing all the practical jokes. Did you watch all that with the cars and all that? Kind of cute, right? But so it'll be big for him and the fans will love it, right? He's still the face of this franchise, even though he's not there anymore.
He's got to retire here, right?
Right, absolutely. So it'll be a good atmosphere. The Wild have been competitive at all these games, even though since they've been eliminated from the race. So Knights have to play well tonight. And, you know, if for some reason they lose and St. Louis gets 2 points, things start to get tight here in the last couple games.
You talk about the Wild being eliminated from the race. The last time that they played the Golden Knights at the end of March, they pulled Fleury in overtime trying to have a main advantage.
John Hines is the one. He did it twice. Yeah. It worked again. I don't get it. If you're going to do it, pull him at the end of regulation. You've already given the team you're chasing the point. Do it at the end of regulation. I know, 4-3 is better than 5-4, but the math makes no sense. Go to the shootout then. There's a minute left in overtime. And they're a positive team. They have more wins and losses than shootouts.
If you missed the ending, the Golden Knights scored an empty netter to win that
rebound,
game.
Rebound, pass, gone.
Like it's nothing. Golden Knights tonight, a minus 175 favorite at home in T-Mobile Arena. Wild plus 145, total sitting 6. We'll be right back with Does Palm Have a Qualm on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
An action-packed fight card is taking over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use the code VSIN when you sign up. That's V-S-I-N. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.
Some bets just don't sit right with Mike Palm. You took all the money you made and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters? Are you considering a bet that would make him sick?
I'm going to throw up.
It's time to ask Mike, would Palm have a qualm?
It's the emoji throwing up for me. Great. Wonderful open. Thanks to the team for putting that together. But let's start our first Would Palm have a qualm with our Twitter submissions? The first of which comes from our own JVT. Appreciate you getting involved in the conversation, buddy. But he asked Mike, he says, I want to bet the Royals to win the Central. Any qualms?
I don't have a qualm because I think you have to take the position to fade the Twins. And so if you can draw a line through the Twins, you can create value by shortening the market. The White Sox, with the exception of the left-handed pitcher Crochet, are awful. So now you've narrowed it down to the Tigers, the Royals, and the Guardians. Guardians still the favorite. Huge blow losing Bieber, not just because he's one of the bona fide aces of a staff. Maybe, I mean, I'd put him in the top six or seven pitchers in baseball, but also the innings that Bieber will eat. So I think there's value with the Royals now. I mean, if they continue to play like this, this market is going to change pretty quickly. They're hitting the ball. The kid they had play first base last year, his name escapes. He was hitting fourth in the lineup. They sent him down. That's how talented this team is offensively. Can the pitching hold up? Obviously, that's the question for many teams. But they have some arms that can eat some innings. And when they score these kind of runs, it makes it a lot easier when you don't have to throw a lot of high leverage pitches. So JVT, I have no qualms. I have to tell you also, you know, the show that The Edge morning, noon, and night he used to do with Humans, and they always moved it around the schedule. Very good show for baseball handicapping. He and Humans are pretty sharp, especially at identifying dogs of daily betting of Major League Baseball.
The price right now for the Royals in the AL Central, plus 475. The Twins, a plus 190 favorite. We have another submission from social media, which, by the way, we're going to be doing this segment every week. So we'll post on the VSiN Twitter, get some of your guys' questions, comments, things that we can propose to Mike to see if he has a qualm about them. This next one from Mark Hoppel. The conversation, something that actually the TNT crew, the NBA TNT crew, had the other day, breaking down who would be defensive player of the year between Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. The odds tell you minus 3,000, it's Gobert. But Hoppel is asking us here about taking Wemby. He says he's already invested, but should he go with the Nigel Seeley approach that we've got on VSiN t-shirts? Don't be a moron, put more on it and get a little more of that 11-1.
So while I respect Nigel and his ability to evaluate soccer teams, for my betting philosophy is often different than he. And by the way, their tennis picks have been terrific as well. I would say the chances of Wemby winning are not great, which the market indicates. And I'm not an expert on the NBA in any shape or form. And you're not going to hedge off at minus 3,000. But my advice would be to stand pat on your position and don't put more on it.
Stay with what you've got. Mm-hmm. Is it like, obviously, Rudy Gobert is playing on like the best defensive team in the league. Is there something just about Wemby playing on the worst defensive team in the league that you're like, how can I give it to that guy, even if his numbers in all these categories are better?
Yeah, it's, well, defense is a team sport, right? It's a team concept in the sport of basketball because one guy can't play great defense and it makes a difference. There's a lot of help. There's a lot of recovery and a lot of system involved. So you make a good point there. I would be very surprised if Wemby wins.
Shaq said, he's 7'5". He better be leading the league in blocks. That's what you're supposed to do. We know the matchup now officially in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It's going to be the Eagles and Packers going head-to-head on that second day of the NFL regular season. Would Palm have a qualm laying the 1.5 with Philadelphia?
Yes, I would. I said this yesterday. The wrong team is favored here. And the 3 was ridiculous to me that it opened. But that was one of my questions for Michael yesterday in the pressing 3. The Eagles have had more disruption in their offseason, losing their defensive coordinator. I mean, what they did in, they limped into the playoffs, losing all those games down the stretch, and then got run out of Tampa Bay in the playoffs. I still can't get over the images of the teammates cursing out their quarterback, who was an MVP candidate 2 months earlier, right? And as everybody says great things about Hurts' intangibles and his leadership, and they just openly are using some profane language to describe him on the bay. I mean, there's a lot of problems there. And I know they get Saquon, but I love the way the Packers played the last 2 months of the year. Probably should have won their divisional game. Went into Dallas, won for fun. Should have probably won that game at Levi Stadium and beat the 49ers. You could argue that they should have been beat by the Lions and by the Packers.
You definitely can't. Right? I mean, and you think prior to like Jordan Love's interceptions in that game against San Francisco. He had some crazy run of like 21 touchdowns and one pick over that stretch.
His last 9 weeks of the year, he'd have been the MVP. Yeah. If there were, that was the only, that was the whole season, he'd have been the MVP of the NFL. I like this team. And LaFleur not coaching, having to coach Rodgers and coach through, and that, I think, gives him a different perspective and a different motivation. I like the Packers. I think more arrows lining up. And what did we hear? Sao Paulo is a big Packer territory. Yeah, Brazilian, they love the Packers in Brazil.
Who knew? But that's what Mark Murphy's saying. let's go to another team in green, the New York Jets. Mm. Would Palm have a qualm with Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams combining for 2,250-plus receiving yards at 4-1?
That's a lot of yards.
It's a lot.
And it's on a team that, you know, Salah will want to run the ball. If they're successful, they're going to want to run the ball. I know the line's got to get better pass blocking and run blocking. But Breece Hall, they're going to want to run the football on this team. I think that's too many yards with that philosophy. So I know 4-1 is an attractive price, but I will say I do have a qualm with that.
I'd probably look more just to Garrett Wilson because he's gone over 1,000 back-to-back years, and that was with last year, Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian as his respective quarterback. So if he can get Aaron Rodgers for the year, that'd be pretty decent. How about McCaffrey to have 1,000-plus rushing yards and 1,000-plus receiving?
I don't mind it at 12-1. I think it's an interesting. He's a dominating player.
He has done it before with the Panthers in 2019.
I got lucky on the Super Bowl with it. It took overtime. But I mean, he had 80 combined yards in the first half, and then he didn't touch the ball in the third quarter. They didn't even like use him as a decoy. It was very strange, right? And the game turned, but then he was dominant on the overtime drive. I think it's interesting. I think at 12-1, I have no qualm.
See, meanwhile, I have a qualm.
A big qualm?
I have a qualm. Okay. The receiving yards just aren't going to get there. There's just too many.
Because too many options?
There's too many other options offensively that he's, even with all the yards after that he can get, I just don't think you're going to get 1,000. He did it
70
once.
70 yards a game? He can't get 70
he
yards
He did
a
it
game?
Once in 2019, and even that was 1,005. Like, he barely got there. And he was the do-it-all player for Carolina. How about the Dallas Cowboys? 14-plus regular season wins at 7-1.
No. Qualm. What have they done? First of all, they've done nothing in the offseason. What did they do? They got the long snapper. This team, I think, probably has a cap at 12, and that might be high. What is it, 10.5 is their total, the regular season win total? Even at 7-1, I think that's a long stretch to be that consistent and that good on both sides of the ball in all three phases of the game to win 14 games. Playing, obviously, they won the division, so they're playing a number one schedule.
The schedule, road games at San Francisco, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. They still have their two games, obviously, against the Eagles in division. Play Baltimore, Cincinnati, Houston, and Detroit as well.
It's very tough.
Very, very tough. Okay, I have two food-related ones for you quickly as we break this out.
Matt Brown and all this eating.
Would Palm have a qualm with just the existence in general of oatmeal raisin cookies?
Why? Why would I have a qualm with that?
Because they're deceiving. You think that it could be a chocolate chip cookie, and instead it's this nastiness.
Well, I don't know. You know, my favorite cookie is an oatmeal Scotty. You ever had that?
What's that?
It's an oatmeal cookie with butterscotch morsels.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Oh, it's great.
I love an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie, but again, the ravens are deceiving.
You hate raisins?
I'm not a fan. I am the person that in the trail mix, I take out the raisins.
You eat grapes?
I like grapes. Okay. I don't like shriveled grapes, though, however. We have one more because I am obsessed with these Nerds gummy clusters things. And apparently our producer here, Justin Emery, was so disappointed. He thinks they're disgusting. Would you try one? I want to know if Palm would have a qualm.
Granular nature of them. The little,
stop.
No, I don't like it.
So you have a qualm looking
at them? They look awful.
They look like an everlasting gobstopper.
They are
insane. Honestly, they're like crack.
Looks like you'll chip your tooth on that thing.
No, it's gummy.
No, I don't know.
It's gummy. Justin said they're a bottom
five. Pull one out. Show what these things look like.
They look like an everlasting gobstopper.
Looks like they're glued together.
I'm a pop, lock, and drop it as we get out of here.
Good luck to you flying this
week. These are dynamite. Ooh, and it's resealable. Man, they're doing something. Great stuff. Fun show. Appreciate you, Mike.
Thanks, Stormy.
Everybody, good luck with your bets. Sharp money. Patrick Maher's coming up next. Apologize for the mouthful, but it was worth it for the gummy clusters.